Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. It's hard to imagine. Believers in Jesus will reign with him in eternity. The riches of heaven will be at our disposal. Every tear we shed on this earth will be wiped away. The glory yet to be will make every moment of suffering worthwhile. Stay tuned. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we conclude an 8-part series on the mysteries of God. Now join us for a final look at our future with God.
I want you to catch this. Calvin said that Jesus accounts nothing as being his own, but that he shares it with the saints. There's nothing that belongs to Jesus that will not at some point belong to me. He shares it with the saints. D.L. Moody, in that great fire in 1871 that we all know about, the Chicago fire, he lost his home, was burned. He moved to Des Plaines for a while, but he came back and he looked at the ruins of his home, and somebody said, "Boy, you basically lost it all." And he said, "Oh, no, I have a lot more wealth than this house." They said, "Oh, really? I didn't know that you were wealthy." And he took out his pen and he wrote in the Bible, Revelation 1, verse 7, "He who overcomes shall inherit all things." Now, I know our translation translates that a little differently, but that's the sense. He who overcomes will inherit everything. D.L. Moody could have taken out his pen and written Romans 8, 32. "He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, equal, and will reign with him. He overcomes," Jesus said to him, "I shall grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I overcame and sat with my Father on his throne." What are we going to rule over? I'll give you a very profound answer. You've been waiting for this for years. I have no idea. But we'll have those assignments. And seeing Jesus face to face is known in theology as the beatific vision. It is at that time that we will sing, "Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, oh, can it be, when with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. Only faintly now I see him, with a darkened veil between. But another day is coming when his glory shall be seen." Imagine that day, face to face with Jesus. Now, as we get to the end of the book of Revelation, we find out that there's a great invitation. You know that, what are we going to be doing in heaven? Well, the answer is, of course, we're going to be serving the Lord. We're also going to be learning. Calvin said that the great ideas of God go on throughout all eternity. What does the creed say? What is the chief purpose of man? The chief goal of man is to know God and enjoy him forever. We're constantly going to be enlarging our knowledge of God. But now let's look at the invitation. As we come to chapter 22, and I can only point out one or two verses, we have this. You'll notice that Jesus says, in verse 7, I think it is, "And behold, I'm coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the word of the prophecy of this book." You say, well, he hasn't come yet. Yeah, but 2,000 years to him is nothing. He will come. And when he comes, it's going to be soon. And then he says, verse 12, "Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay everyone for what he has done. I am the Alpha and Omega. I am the first and the last. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have a right to the tree of life that they may enter the city by the gates. Nobody climbing over the wall of that city. Outside are dogs. That is those who live a very low life. I know that we don't use this kind of terminology, but in the first century this was used. Dogs were scavengers. It kind of covers all kinds of mischief and sin. Outside are dogs, sorcerers, the sexually immoral, murderers, idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. What a distinction. Now, I want to point out that there are some people who are in the holy city who have committed these sins. At one time, they were adulterers, they were immoral, perhaps they were into the occult and sorcery. You could have described them with all of these terms, and yet there they are. They are showing up in heaven. Why? Well, I read it, didn't I? Blessed are those who wash their robes and make themselves ready. So how do you get your robe washed? Well, the book of Revelation tells us. You know, in chapter 7, there's that great multitude that no man could number, the Bible says. And John is asking, who are these people? And the answer is, they've come out of great tribulation. And then it says, they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The symbolism of Revelation is interesting because if you washed your robe in blood, I assume it would be red, not white. But we're talking here about symbolism. The only way to have your robes washed is to come to Jesus, receive him as Savior, accept what he did on your behalf so that he is your personal Savior. Doesn't come through rituals, not even confession. It comes through the personal acceptance of the fact that you're a sinner and you don't bring your own detergent to wash your robes. It's not a matter of saying, well, you know, I gave money, I'm a good person, blah, 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 blah. That's all bringing your detergent to your need. They have their robes washed in the blood of the Lamb. Is that true of you? Have you really received Jesus as your Savior, or does all of this somehow just go above you and you let it float by? We're talking serious here. I am surprised. I'm not surprised, but I am, what shall we say, struck. That's a good word. For the great disparity in the book of Revelation between those who are believers and they get to be in all of this glory and those who maintain their own goodness along with all the sins that they are listed there. And it does not go well for them at all. No, they are outside of the city. And we read just moments ago what happens to them. Now, isn't it interesting that the book of Revelation ends this way? Jesus goes on to say, and I have to skip now to verse 17. John writes, "The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' Let the one who hears say, 'Come.' Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires to take the water of life, let him come and receive it without price." The gift of salvation, the washing of the robes, has to be free. Because it's all a gracious gift of God to which we can contribute nothing except as God works in our hearts and we receive that gift. My works cannot make the blood of Christ better, cannot make it worse. It is an objective way by which we come to God and have our robes washed in the blood of the Lamb. You'll notice that there's a warning now. Don't detract from these words. Don't take them away. Don't add them. It's really for the book of Revelation, but it does apply to all the Bible. But specifically, this is a warning to those who would want to disagree with or deny the book of Revelation. Verse 20, he who testifies to these things say, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. We get to the end of the book and God says, in effect, I have nothing more to say. And right now, I have nothing more to say. I agree with God here at this point. But the question is, do you have your robes washed in the blood of the Lamb? It takes humility. It takes an acknowledgement of your sin. It takes embracing Christ totally to be your Savior, so that regardless of your past, you're welcomed into the heavenly city. In a moment, we're going to sing. And as we do, would you receive Christ as Savior? Would you let the songs that we sing be your prayer? And after the service, I'm going to be here. We're going to have prayer partners up here. We'd love to pray with you. You come, shake our hands, tell us what's on your heart. We're here to help you. Come, said the Spirit. And today at Moody Church, we say to you, come freely. Receive the water of life, that you might enter into the city. Father, we can only do so much. We cannot take people in that last step. That's up to your blessed Spirit to show them their need and to enable them to come without money, without price, without self-righteousness to receive your gift. May they do that today, we pray in your blessed name. Amen. My friend, I think you understand that the most blessed thing that you can possibly do is to put your faith in Jesus Christ. And we here at Running to Win are so delighted when we hear testimonies of people coming to faith in Christ as a result of this ministry. This actually is the last in a series of messages entitled The Mysteries of God. Even as a young boy, I used to contemplate God as I would run under the stars way back on the farm in Canada, and I would often worship God because of the immensity of His creative power. What we desire at Running to Win is that all of us become better worshipers, and there's no way for us to become better worshipers unless we better understand His Word, His attributes, and His mysteries. We are totally committed to the Word of God in a balanced way, making sure that as far as possible, and to the best of our knowledge, we always exalt Jesus Christ and we present the God that is revealed in the Bible and not the God of our imaginations. Thank you so much for connecting with us.
Erwin Lutzer, wrapping up Our Future with God, the last in an 8-part series on the mysteries of God. Next time on Running to Win, don't miss a new series on prayer that makes a difference. The Mysteries of God can be yours on CD. All 8 messages will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks for listening. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.